Hi, my name's Julie Macken and welcome to the 5-Minute Advocate. The other day I was in yet another meeting where a group of extremely brilliant, hardworking people who had spent years working as climate activists were talking about the acceleration of climate change, the 38 degrees experienced in Siberia, the melting of the tundra, the wildfires ripping through America, and of course Australia's inability to reduce carbon emissions or drive the transition to renewable energy, or get into some landscape recovery, let alone manage the glorious rivers that are still very much under the gun here. And we began to reflect on how did we get here? How did a nation that used to lead the world in smart industry restructuring packages, adherence to international treaties, to advocating for the rights of minorities globally, how did we become a nation that can't manage to stop cooking our landscape, can't stop breaching international treaty obligations, and apparently can't pay the rent without digging and burning the most sacred of places? How did this happen? And look, obviously there are numerous answers to that depending on where you stand, but one that demands my attention, and I'm going to argue should demand yours, is corruption. We have become a very corrupt nation. Take our inability to create a realistic response to climate change. I started reporting on global warming in 1997 when I was at the Australian Financial Review. Look, it's hard to imagine now, but back then climate change was seen as both an economic issue and an opportunity. It was often described as a trillion-dollar market opportunity, and it is. Back then, business was aware that the shift to renewable energy, the shift to carbon-neutral buildings, transport, urban cooling strategies would see millions of new jobs created and a plethora of market opportunities for smart technology, manufacturing and even farming. Then the fossil fuel lobby decided that these new ideas threatened their business model. The coal and gas lobby are the most powerful political operatives Australia has ever seen. They are amongst the most wealthy donors to both Labor and the Coalition. And the CFMEU is one of the union movement's most powerful and politically connected unions. So the combination of the Minerals Council and the CFMEU working kind of together guaranteed coal and gas would remain front and centre of Australia's energy plans. They also had millions to pay for the propagandists that would come in and sell the story to the community. So they had all of that going for them, and then laws were changed across Queensland, New South Wales and elsewhere to ensure that protesting against the ongoing burning of Australia, the mining of Australia, were introduced to prevent civil society speaking out effectively. So we not only have corruption around the question of who has access and who has their arguments heard most loudly and who can, frankly, spend more on both media coverage and political caring, we also have corruption of our democratic values as well, values like the right to protest. Even the current crisis is imbued with this corruption of process, as Renew Economy pointed out last month. The National COVID Coordination Committee, appointed by Morrison to provide advice on potential economic stimulus in response to the crisis, is now pushing for a previously discredited proposal for a trans-Australia pipeline that would link West Australia and the East Coast gas market. The committee is stacked with representatives of Australia's oil and gas sectors, is chaired by a gas industry executive, Neville Power, includes Energy Australia's managing director, Catherine Tanner, and is advised by oil executive Andrew Laveris, who is an independent non-executive director for the huge Saudi oil company and also a former Trump advisor. There is no transparency in how any of these people were appointed. The Morrison government has refused to say what process was used to select the members. Unsurprisingly, the committee's involvement has seen restrictions on the new resource exploration relaxed and proposals for financial support to be directed into the sector. This is the sector, by the way, that pays zero tax. In a speech delivered to the National Press Club, Federal Minister for Industry, Science and Technology, Karen Andrews, said that the Morrison government would continue to look for ways to reduce red tape for the resources sector, although I'm sure she meant green tape. Look, corruption is such an issue that until we get a seriously bitey federal ICAC, Anti-Corruption Commission, and begin rebuilding our democratic structures, we have no hope of meaningful change anywhere. So I think we all need to focus on one single campaign together, demanding a federal ICAC and starting Operation Democracy in Australia.